Well, we've been in a series we call Jesus Our Healer. And I believe this is part 13 because we've just been taking our time. We haven't just gone one Sunday after another. There's been different things. We started this before Christmas. As we're led to do other things, touch on other things, we'll do that. We're not just locked in that we have to spend every service on a series once we get into it. But as the Spirit leads, we continue it, but we don't want to be getting in a hurry, too. You cannot exhaust God's Word on any subject. We could spend from now to the rest of our life on a single verse, and you say that's not true or impossible. No, God's infinite. We wouldn't be able to extract all the truth from it, but we want all the counsel of God's Word. So when we get to the point where we need to move on, and we've covered what we need to cover for a specific time, then we move on. But we're not quite done here with this. So all those messages are available, on the various places on our website, on YouTube, on the podcast. So you can go and listen to those to catch up, because we can't cover everything we've covered. But we will recap briefly so to get everybody on the same page. Specifically, last week we did part one. This will be part two. Talking about faith, doctors, and medicine. So I will recap just to get us on the same page regarding this, but I won't go into the detail that I went last week on some of these things, so I encourage you, go back and listen to that. But I will touch on things so at least we can move forward. Let's look briefly at Acts 10:34. Let's just skip to verse 38, actually, just for the sake of time. We've covered this a lot. This is kind of our jumping off point. Verse 38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So we covered this a lot in different areas concerning these things. But it says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So Jesus went about doing good. Jesus said, "I've come to do my will, not the will of the Father." So what you see Jesus doing is the will of the Father. In other words, Jesus wasn't doing something contrary to the will of God. So it says he was doing good and healing. So healing is good. And if Jesus was healing, God the Father wasn't making people sick, because Jesus was the will of God in action, is the will of God in action on the earth. And so he himself said that, "I only do what I see my Father do. I am doing what the Father would do." So they're aligned, in other words. So what you see Jesus doing as he was doing good and healing, that's the will of God the Father. He said he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So he went and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So sickness and disease, the origin is Satan. The origin is the fall. The origin is when sin came into the earth, death came into the earth. Sickness is a form of death. Sometimes actually results in physical death, but sickness itself is death. Death in all areas is a result of the fall, is a result of Satan influencing man. And the fall of Adam and Eve brought death into the world, and so death spread to all men through that, and so sickness is part of that. So it's not God is not the source of that, the devil is. And so we've covered that in detail. So we started last week talking about faith, and faith being confidence, faith being believing God, being persuaded of something, being convinced of something. And so if you have faith in God, you're confident. And if you have faith in God's Word, you have a confidence there. In other words, you're not unsure. You are confident of what God has said. You believe it. You're at peace. You're settled. And so we go to God, we receive from God by faith in all areas. And we talked about that concerning healing. You receive healing by faith. Anything from God, you receive it by believing something. And so we've gone through that. So last week we started talking about, how does faith work with doctors and medicine? People have this question because people will try to make it sometimes like it's an either or. Either you believe God or you go to the doctor. And we got into that, and we're going to recap some, but it's not either or. You have to go to the Word to determine another. In any case, you don't. It's not my opinion. It's not what somebody else said. It's not, well, I just don't believe. What does the Bible say? Okay, what does the Bible say on these things? And when we see what the Bible says, we can get confusion, can clear up, and we can get settled and we can be solid. Because it doesn't do any good for us to be, you know, kind of unsettled on stuff. Because, you know, you're just, you, well, I know we believe in this church, but when we get out of church, well, then we really believe this. So we kind of play this game like we believe certain things when we're church and we're Christians and, oh, we know. But then when we get out in the world, we do something else. Why? That's pretending. So what do we actually believe on these things? What does the Word say? So that we're settled, we're confident, we're not feeling like, well, I don't really believe this here, but I'm going to pretend like I believe around these people, but when I get around these people, now I believe that. And we need to be consistent on how we believe, on how we approach things. And God is consistent across the board. And so I'm going to try to recap some of this, and then we're going to move forward. Just believe with me. That's why we pray. It is not an exercise at the beginning. We're praying, believing God that He's helping us right now. Let's look at Exodus 15, 26. We talked about these things too, but I'm going to go to the last part, but let's read it. It says, "And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you." That word is Jehovah Rapha. That's a covenant name of God. It literally means, "I am the Lord, your physician." And so that is an aspect of God. And we read through these before, but just recapping. Jehovah Shammah, that's another covenant name. There's seven, is translated, "The Lord is there present." Well, He's still here today. That's not faded away, in other words. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord our peace. He is still our peace today. Jehovah Raha is the Lord my shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He is, Jesus is the shepherd. He is our shepherd. That has not faded away. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Well, He still are provided. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." Jehovah Nissi means, "The Lord is our banner or victor or captain. The Lord always causes us to triumph." That hasn't changed. Lord Sidkenu is, "The Lord our righteousness." We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That hasn't changed. And finally, Jehovah Rapha, "The Lord our physician," or "The Lord that heals you," or "The Lord our healer." If He was our healer, He is our healer now. Amen. Okay, that has not changed. So He has always been the healer. And this is a key point, is that God is the true source of healing. Amen. And when we get this clear, then things will clear up. God, just like with finances, just like with resources, He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. He's the creator. He's the one that doesn't rely on anybody for His existence. He is not taking out loans. He is not, He doesn't have to go somewhere else and buy His food. God is self-existent. He doesn't depend on anybody. He is the creator. He is the provider. And so whether people know it or not, they're like, "Well, I got a job and work." What are you doing it with? Well, you know, your body, your mind. Who created that? God. The resources that people mine and use, God put it there. You know, their heart beating and their blood pump, all this stuff. God, nobody can say, "I did this. I bootstrapped it from myself." Where'd you get your body? Well, that just happened. God created it. So see, there is nothing. People can't look and say, "Well, I did this all myself." You know the old joke, people, yeah, you know, there's a guy that, these group of scientists, they thought they had created, just cracked the code of how to create life. And they went to God and they said, "You know, we figured it out. We know how to do it." Went to God and He was like, "Well, show me." And He goes, and they say, "All right, will you take some dirt?" He goes, "Uh-uh, get your own dirt." No, people are like, "I did this." Yeah, are you keeping your heart beating? No. No, we depend on Him. So God has, He has channels through which He provides for us. But those aren't our source. We can't get our eyes on any natural thing. And God is our healer. There's channels through which healing can come, but ultimately, He's the one that heals. Doctors are not healers. They can do something, they can help you, they can take something out of the way, but your body's got to heal. It's got to work right. No matter, the most brilliant doctor, brilliant surgeon can do their best work and sew you up, but if your body doesn't heal, they can't do anything about it. I just heard a couple of accounts where one person, they had a medical emergency. They went into the hospital. The doctors did everything they could, and the man lived. And right on the heels of that, there was another person that her husband had a medical emergency, went into the same hospital. Probably many of the same good people that were working, and they did everything they could, and the person died. Okay, doctors cannot do everything. They are not the source of healing. Thank God for what they can do. But they are not the healer. Ministers are not the healer. Thank God if they lay hands on you, believe with you, pray with you, but they're not the healer. God's the healer. God's the source of healing. And so thank God for the people that help us. Thank God for the way we can believe God, that we can thank God for the people that helped you medically, but don't give glory to people. Amen. You got to keep your eye. It's the same thing with money. You can't say, oh, well, that person did. It came through that person, but that was God taking care of you. Amen. If we get this straight, it'll become clear. There is only one healer. Psalm 103, just recapping here. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, who, talking about the Lord, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. He's the forgiver. He's the redeemer. He is the healer. Look at Hosea 11:3. I got to go through these somewhat quick because we covered these last week, but I'm just going to read some of these scriptures and comment on them. Hosea 11:3 says, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. They didn't know it was God who healed them. So we got to be watchful about who we give the credit to. God should receive the credit and praise. Thank God it might have come through somebody, but don't get your eyes on a man. Don't start glorifying them. Thank God for them, but don't say they saved you. By the grace of God, it came through them. But where did all the knowledge come? Where did the ability? What hands are they using? God designed those hands. God designed their mind. Don't get people say, well, that person saved me. And I just heard somebody like, they saved me. Ignorance, but God had mercy on you and helped you through that. Amen. We need to get it straight. Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. So if God heals you, He is the healer. He is the redeemer. If He heals you, you can be healed. So some people make it an either or situation. This is all recap. And we'll preach actually against doctors. You don't go to the doctor. If you have faith, you don't go to the doctor. And one of the scriptures they'll use is 2 Corinthians 16 verse 12. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in his 41st year of his reign. It says, yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. In the NLT, it says, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. In the GW, it says, instead of asking the Lord for help, he went to doctors. So Asa should have known better. Asa, God had helped him with military things before, but then later in his life, he had money and he bought help. Instead of going to God, he didn't seek help. And the prophet came to him and said, you did not seek God. You knew better. And that's what he's doing here. The thing wrong with what Asa is doing is that he didn't go to God. He should have gone to God. He didn't go to God. The physicians may have been involved, but he didn't even seek God. He just went to the doctors and said, "You help me." See, he had already done that with leading Judah. He had already done it where he had sought God before against tremendous odds, and God delivered him out. And then later, he was in a similar situation, not even as bad, but he decided, "I'm not going to God. I'm going to buy help." And he made a treaty with somebody, sent them money, and they came and helped. And the prophet came and said, "You did wrong. You didn't seek God. God helped you. From now on, you're going to have war." And that's what he's doing here. That's what's wrong. He is going, he's replacing God with the physicians. He's not even seeking God. And so that is a problem, because God is still the healer. We don't replace God with physicians, with doctors. And we talked about this. People say, "Well, that's just doctors, that's just natural." No, it's not just natural. There is no such as just natural healing. God put healing in the body. He designed the body, and it heals itself, you know, to a certain degree with, you know, you get a cut or you get a scrape, and it heals, you know, it clots up, and, you know, depending on, in some cases, you don't even know it was ever there. Well, that's not just natural. That's like, well, people say, well, Mother Nature, there's no Mother Nature. It's God. God designed it. It's not like, well, there's natural and then there's supernatural. No, that line is not as clear as people think. Your body is supernatural. Your body right now, your body is in it, your spirit's in it. If your spirit's gone, your body's done. It's just it's a complicated, advanced machine. And your body is being animated by your spirit, but if your spirit leaves, it's limp. Right now, you're actually walking supernaturally because you're indwelled by a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotions, your soul, and you live in a body. And see, when people just, that's natural thinking. People think that's just your body. That's you. It's not you. That's the vehicle you use to get around in. That'll help so much if you just start seeing people, and the real them is inside, and this is the machine they're getting around in. Because it's not them. It'll also help a lot of things when people say, "Well, you know, you do this because you look like this." That's just the machine. That'd be like somebody's driving a certain brand of car, and it's like, "Well, you're going to judge them based on that." That's stupid. They didn't have a choice. That's what their parents were, and so then that's the machine they got. Well, that's not you, but if we differentiate it and we think, well, that's just natural. So, oh, sure, your body, it heals some, but then there's God, supernatural. No. They work together. God put the measure of healing power in you. If, you know, you get a cut, it's a minor cut, you know, week, 2 weeks later, it's pretty much healed. But if that process speeds up two times, all of a sudden in 3 days, it's healed. You speed it up 50 times, 100 times, all of a sudden it's just looks like it's healed. Well, that's how you start getting it instantaneous. The power of God could come up, speed up that process, and boom, it's done. It can be the same thing. It's by the power of God, but God is putting his power in it, into the body. It's not a hard line. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is you want to be well. You want to be healthy. And so God put these things in. And so go to God first in everything. Don't go just to people. Don't replace God. Jeremiah 17:5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." It says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, puts his full reliance on man, and makes flesh his strength. In other words, just go into man, they'll take care of it. That is a mistake. We don't replace God with men. God will never fail you. People can, and they're limited. You don't ever put yourself in a man or woman's hands and say, "You do it. Fix me. I don't need to go to God. I know I've believed God before, but I'm just going to go to you because I know you can do it. You do it." You don't do that in any area. You don't do it medically. You don't do it financially. You don't do it legally. Don't say, "Well, you're so brilliant." Whatever you think, don't do that. What do? You seek God. God, what would you have me to do? Do you want me to work with this person? And you stay alert. They start saying, I don't care how brilliant they are in their field. I think you should do this. You get a check, you say, I don't believe so. Well, yeah, but we do this all the time, sir. No. You're following God. You stay on top of it. You stay in control of what regards you in relation to God. You don't say, oh, well, the lawyer said this, I'll just do it. In most cases, that's why you hired him. But you got to be sensitive. In other words, God is the one we trust in. He may use different people, but you don't start putting your trust in God. Go, well, I know I'm trusting God, but in this area, you know, this person's got it. I don't have, no, no, no. And especially medically, you do not just shut off and go, well, they'll just do whatever. You don't do that. So let's look at, we read these, but again, going through them, trying to recap so we can connect with where we're going to go this morning just a little bit farther. Jeremiah 8, verse 21, it says, for the hurt, so these are some scriptures regarding doctors. We read back early in Genesis, we're not going to take time to turn to Genesis, it talked about physicians being embalmers with like Joseph's father, Israel. Verse 21, Jeremiah 8:21 says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Now, this is talking, you know, figuratively some, but notice the language. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery? In other words, tying an actual physician to the recovery. It's just mentioning it. Look at Matthew 9:12. Now, this is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three of the Gospels, the same statement. But look at Matthew 9:12. Again, we spoke in this in detail last week, but I'm kind of flying over it. You can go back and listen to last week. I can't recap everything. Verse 12 says, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. In the NLT, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. So is Jesus saying, I mean, he literally said, sick people need a doctor. Did he? If God was against doctors, Jesus would not have said this. It's confusing then. Jesus literally said, it's not the healthy people that need a doctor, a physician. Sick people do. Well, that gives the wrong impression if somehow God, if it's a sin, if it's against faith to go to a doctor, Jesus would not have said this. Colossians 4:14, again, we read all these. Colossians 4:14, Luke, it says, Luke, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And notice Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, is a traveling companion, faithful traveling companion of Paul the Apostle. And he's calling him here, Luke, the beloved physician. In the NLT, it says, Luke, the beloved doctor. He's referring to Luke as the beloved physician, beloved doctor. This is after his conversion. This is after he's traveling with the Apostle Paul. He's seen miracles. He's seen all kinds of things. He is a traveling companion ministering with Paul, and Paul is referring to him as the beloved physician. If physician was a bad thing, Luke would have taken this title off, and Paul certainly would not be calling him this. Paul would have distanced Luke from that, and Luke would have distanced himself. Said, hey, that was before. I didn't know any better. Now I know that was a bad thing. But he didn't do that. This is scripture. So he had seen miracles, healings. He had been saved for a long time. And if this were contrary to God, contrary to faith, contrary to being God being the healer, Jesus would not have used the phrase, the sick need a doctor. And Paul would not have called Luke the beloved physician. Luke would not have gone by that title, by that name. God is not anti-doctor. Faith is not anti-doctor. It's not either or. And we said this last week, it's not either or. If you're going to go to the doctor, you better do it by faith. Whatever we do, we ought to believe God is leading us to do it. Not just because. Not because we're in a bad place and I'm not close to God. I would believe God, but I'm just going to go to the doctor. You could die. You say, well, is that the only thing? God can lead you. God, it's how, what do we go to him first and we say, God, you lead me on how to handle this, what to do. Whatever we do, it ought to be by faith. You don't do anything just because. You don't do it because somebody else told you, because somebody else is pressuring you, because somebody else said that's what you should do, because somebody else said that's what they did, and everybody who has any faith does it. You do it because you went to the Lord and he directed you, and you go with that because you can hear God, and that's how he leads his children. Romans 14:23 says, the end of that says, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So if you're not doing it from faith, if you're not doing it from confidence, if you're not doing it from belief, if you're not doing it because you're persuaded this is what you ought to do, it's sin. In other words, it's the wrong way to go. No, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So you trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of your heart. Not like, well, I trust in the Lord, but here I'm going to really trust over here. Nope. You trust in the Lord with all your heart in all your ways. Everybody say all. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In other words, in anything you're doing, you're going to God and say, God, what should we do about this? Oh, well, I know I've done this before. I'll just do it this way. We don't do that. We go to him and say, God, I've done this 14 times like this. What should I do this time? How should I be? What are you leading me to do? What should I be doing here? Well, you know, this person, I believe them. They really believe God, and that's what they do. I just believe I'll do this, and you don't ask God. That's not the same as acknowledging God. You're trying to do what they did. You're copying them, and if you don't have confidence on what they did, that's not a good place to be. And people do this all the time. And the key here, and we'll get to this, is you're looking inside. What do I have confidence in? It doesn't say trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Well, it says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That includes other people's understanding. You trust in the Lord. You don't go by what somebody else understands because they could have a different understanding. They could have a different place. What is God telling you? What is God telling me? Where is my confidence? See, that's where I want to be. Somebody's saying, well, I believe God here. You're not going on their faith. You're not going on their understanding. You're not even going on your understanding. Your understanding may say, well, I think we should do this. And inside, if you're looking, God is saying, no, son, daughter, do this. That's what you want to go with because you don't know everything. I don't know everything. God does. And he loves us. And so we trust him to get us through, no matter what anybody else knows, what everybody else does know, doesn't know. If they make mistakes, you don't go, oh, well, all of a sudden, I thought you were leading me here and this doesn't look good. God can make up the difference. You're leading, you're going after him, you're being led by him, and you trust him and say, God, I'm coming through. Regardless, it doesn't matter what somebody does or doesn't know, you're not getting set on. You're getting your eyes fixed on a person. Oh, I thought they were the best. What am I going to do now? You're going to trust God like we should have been all along. God, you want me to do this. God, you want me to do this. God, okay, that person might be doing something for me, but I'm looking to God. Because if God doesn't come through, it's not like, oh, God, I believed you. Okay, well, now I'm just going to go to the natural and I shut this off and just you do it. No, we're all along saying, God, I thank you. You're with me. You're for help them. Give them wisdom. Give them direction if God leads you to be with somebody. But Luke was called the beloved doctor. And there are people that are beloved doctors today. There are people that have given their lives, their time. They study, they spend years of study and find out about the human anatomy and medicine and different things. And they are beloved. They are doing a good job. Their heart is in it. They're trying to help people, which is what we all should be doing. Ministers, we're trying to help people. Pray with somebody and they didn't get healed. People are like, well, you shouldn't be praying with them. Doctors try to treat people all the time and they die. What's the difference? We're all supposed to be helping. Going help, and you know, is there people that are not good as doctors? Yeah. And there's people that are not good as preachers. There's people that are not good teachers. There's people that are not good engineers. That's the same in every profession. We don't get our eyes on that. We look to God. But there are people that are good, that are doing a good job, and we need to know, we need to be led by God, but there are good people that we're going to need to get help from in every... You need to know more people than just yourself if you're going to get by in 2026. There's going to be people you're going to have to get help from, likely. And, you know, and when people say, you know, bad things about doctors... You know, and some ministers will say bad things. Oh, you know, just go to the doctor. And it's hypocritical because they go to the doctor. And they act all like they know more and like, oh, well, we don't go to the doctor or whatever. And then they're at the doctor's office, but they're preaching like that. That's hypocritical. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary to do that. You're disparaging somebody that then you're going to them for help. And you need their help. If we just get our minds straight, we'd be like, that's the same as going to get your car fixed. Well, we don't believe in mechanics. Well, good. I hope you've got a garage at home and know how to fix all the electronics and everything, which is harder to do in 2026 than it was 50 years ago. See, people aren't consistent. Why? You know, it's like, why do we say these things? Because people aren't consistent in the way they say they believe and in the way they act. It's like they compartmentalize. Well, when it comes to this area, I just always have to go just to God or else I'm wrong. But if you put that in every, well, you know, God rained manna down from heaven. God sent a raven to feed people. Why don't you just believe for that? And you don't go get a job. Because God can do it, can he? Can God or cannot God sustain you from here on out without another person? Does he have the power to do it? Why don't you do that? Quit your job and say, I only go straight. He is my provider, so I just go to him. That's it. Well, that's different. It's not different. See, that's the confusion. If God's the healer, well, you know, well, I just go to him. No, you do what he said with your car. We went into some of these things. Your car, people have no problem. People have no problem just go in. Oh, diagnostics, that's what's wrong? Okay, order the part. Okay, put the part in. All right, get back on the road, and that's it. But something's wrong with your body. People make it a different area. The thing is, we should be led in everything that we do. We should be going to him. God is able to do all kinds of things, but we don't receive from God based on what he can do. We receive from God based on our faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. So it's what we believe. It's not what God can do. It's not according to his will. It's not according to his power. It's according to what we can believe and receive. That's how we receive from God. And so we don't receive from God based on what he is able to do and what even his will is for us. You receive from God, I receive from God based on what we believe and what we receive and where our confidence is in him. We need to to always seek God and do what He's telling us to do in any area. I'll give you an example. So there is this this instructor at Rhema, and you know, it was cold. It was a winter day, and his car wouldn't start. And he relates this story. His car wouldn't start, and you know, they have security there at Rhema, and these guys do different things. So he had called security, and they're coming. They're just going to jump start his car. And he, as he relates it, the car was the battery was already old. He knew that it would needed to be replaced, but at first cold day, it didn't start. He knew what it was. He knew to replace the battery. So he's standing there waiting for the guy to get there just to jumpstart his cable. And a Rhema student came up to him and said, you know, what are you doing? He said, well, car won't start. I'm waiting for the guy to get here and jumpstart. And the guy looked at him and he said, well, you're a faith man, aren't you? And he said, yeah, I mean, I'd like to be. He goes, why don't you just speak to it? And which is just flat out disrespect. But maybe the kid didn't know. Or the guy didn't know. I don't know how old he was. But so he said, well, I don't have that on my heart. And the guy looked at him like, yeah, sure. Sure you don't. You just don't have any faith. In other words, you don't really believe what you say you believe, and you've been teaching us in these classes. And the thing is, that is the right thing. If you don't have it on your heart, see, this person already knew the battery was old. He knew that he's going to replace it. It's already been 2 years past when it should have been. So he's already gotten more use out of it than he should have. It's already, he's got the blessing of God. He's believing God to have the money now, because he could have replaced it 2 years ago, but he's believing God he's not going to have to replace it. Now he's got to replace it. So he's believing God that he should have the money to replace it. He didn't have it on his heart. And he said, why would I don't have it on my heart to do it. So it's not a faith. So if it's not a faith, why would I just now going to work up something and start speaking to it to impress this guy? See, that's fake. That's pretend. That's not true. The fact is, he is believing God. He's being led by God. I'm going to go here. This guy's going to jump me, and I'm going to go get a battery and replace it. I'm going to go down the road. Now, if you were in the middle of nowhere, and this person said, he goes, now, if I were in the middle of nowhere, you know, he said Northern Alaska or something, and there's nobody, I'm going to freeze to death. I would believe God that something would come up in my heart that I would be able to stand on to remedy this situation. But at that point, why would I go through all that and try to make this up? Why, to impress somebody? See, that's fake. That's not, it's what is God saying? If God's saying, go get a new battery, that's what I'm going to do. If God's saying, no, speak to it, well, is he really saying that, or am I trying to make something? And so now I'm saying something that I don't really believe, and I'm putting on a show that hurts our faith. If we go and see, we feel like, well, this happened. I need to believe God here, and so I need to do something that's not really on my heart, but I'm feeling pressure from people. Well, I need to do this the spiritual way, otherwise I can't just do it this. And you say things and speak things that you don't actually have in your heart, that's pretending. Then when it doesn't happen, now it hurts our faith. Because why did you say that? Well, it didn't happen. What? Because people just throw it out. They're hope. We've talked about this. They're wishing. They're like, well, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. And people, let's just believe God and let's speak to it. And it doesn't happen because that's not actually how God was leading them. That's not actually what they had on their heart. And it didn't happen. And then people are like, see, it doesn't happen. The problem is, shouldn't have ever said it in the first place. Shouldn't have ever said, because that wasn't how God was leading. That's not, you saw somebody else do it. Somebody saw somebody else do it. They heard it and they said, I believe I'll do that. They're parroting they're not actually in faith. They don't have any confidence. If you asked them and got real, they'd be like, well, no, I'm just trying. I mean, I heard that. I believe that's what I'm supposed to do. I believe that's God's best. We don't receive based on God's best. We receive on what we believe and have confidence, what we can believe. You don't receive on somebody else's faith. They may have been at that place and they believed God and God was speaking to them and they spoke or they believed and it worked. Great. Question is that where I am? If I'm there, then it's God leading me, and now he'll do what he said. If it's me trying to do something that I saw or read, even with the word of God, but I'm like, I'm not confident, that's not God leading. We need to get in line with what God, what his victory plan is, and then we can go forward. Amen? Amen. Faith is of the heart. It's not pretend. It's of the heart, and it's either there or it's not. And if it's not there, if you're not confident, then it's not the end of the road. We can get faith, we can look, but don't make something up. If you're not persuaded, if you're not confident, and it's not there, don't press through anyway. And just do something. Because that's not gonna end. You're not actually being led by God, and when things don't happen, it's gonna just hurt our faith. So let's go farther. Look at a few scriptures about medicine. Proverbs 17:22. So we talked about doctors talking about medicine. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." So it says a merry heart does good like medicine. So can medicine do good? Apparently. Because this wouldn't be in the Bible. God's not confused. He's not trying to confuse people. If God were anti-medicine, this wouldn't be in the Bible. It says a merry heart does good. What? Like medicine can do good. So medicine, it would be a different way if this weren't the case. Let's look at Jeremiah 30:13. It says, "There is no one to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines." You don't have no healing medicines. In other words, medicines can heal. Jeremiah 51:8. "Babylon was suddenly fallen and had been destroyed. Wail for her, take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed." Now, this is figurative, but it's also talking about a spiritual reality, which is why it can be figurative. "Take balm for her pain, perhaps she may be healed." In other words, he's talking about people, but he's saying like this in the, you know, in the physical. Ezekiel 47:12 says, "Along the bank of the river on this side and that, all kinds or will grow all kinds of trees used for food, and their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves," for what? Medicine. "For medicine." And again, this is talking about a spiritual aspect, but it's also a physical reality. In the future, in Revelation 3:18, it says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, eye salve, that you may see." Just referring to something that could actually do good in the natural. Look at 2 Kings 2, verse 19. thank you, Jesus. 2 Kings 2:19, it says, "Then the men of the city said to Elisha, 'Please notice the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren.' And he said, 'Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it.' So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast the salt in there and said, 'Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness.' So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke." So here the waters were bad. Go to verse 20, and it said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So he brought it to him. "Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt. And then, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. So the prophet, he was led by God, and it was supernatural. But notice there was an element involved. There was salt involved. Why did he need to use the salt? Why did the salt have to be there? God can do anything. But somehow God led him that there was an element involved and did something good. In combination, it healed the waters forever. And it's, thus says the Lord, these waters are healed. So if God could use one element, he could use another element. See, it's why would you use the salt? Well, you know why? Because God said to use the salt. Do you think God knows more than we do? Yeah, he does. He knows more than we do. Look at 2 Kings 4, verse 38. It says, Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into a pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. So they're saying it's, you know, something's poison, something's not good. There's death. Because they didn't know what the heck they were putting in there. Verse 41, so he said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. So he put flour in it. So it goes from being poison to now it's okay to eat. Just because he used flour. Why did he use flour? Because he was led to use flour. It worked. I guess people didn't die. So Isaiah, so before we read this, we're going to go to Isaiah 38, but Hezekiah had been really sick and he was near death's door and God administered to him and it turned it around, but he would have died. But this is after that. Isaiah 38 verse 21. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs. He had a boil. Let him take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. So a poultice is like a plaster, an ointment. The definition is a soft, usually heated, and sometimes medicated mass spread on cloth and applied to sores or other lesions. So here it says, apply it to as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. Isaiah said this to him. Why did the prophet tell him to put a poultice, an ointment of figs on the boil? Why didn't he just believe God and that's it? We don't know. I mean, figs, as far as I know, I don't know that they heal boils. I mean, maybe there's something in there and I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But the interesting thing is, Isaiah, the prophet of God, came to him and it wasn't like, all right, you're done. That's it. You're healed supernaturally. He said, use a poultice of figs. And he said, and he shall recover. If God says that, why would you argue with him? Well, we're not supposed to use that. I mean, we can't use, why would I need to use that? I'm not using that. I believe we don't use anything like that. And die. What's the point? Do you think Isaiah is hearing God? That's the point. Follow God. If he says, put the figs on, and God's saying that, whether I understand it, where you understand it, he lived. So why did he use the flour? I don't know, but it worked. Why did they put salt in the water? But if God said to do it, just do it. Who are we following? Like, no, that doesn't fit my doctrine. Maybe our doctrine needs to be fixed. Maybe we're wrong. I mean, here's a little side. This is free. I'm not going to charge anything for this. Everybody's doctrine needs to be fixed, including mine. In other words, I don't know everything. Am I trying to preach heresy? No, I'm going by the Bible. But do I see everything as God sees? No. Then there's not a person on the planet that does. I know more today than I did 2 years ago, for sure. Yeah. And 2 years from now, I'm going to tell you, I know more and I see more clearly, you know, as far as the word than I do now. And that's the way it ought to be. And it will continue to the day you and I leave the earth. And that's okay. But if you get to the point, if I get to the point like, no, you're closed, I'm closed, I know it all, and I can't be taught. And if somebody says that, well, that's not God. It's clearly in the word. Maybe we need to change. Because what is the direct, what are we looking at? Are we looking to somebody else's, their opinion or their philosophy or their creed that they grew up with? Or are we looking to the word of God? Because the word of God is right. And if our doctrine or our belief system comes up against this and is wrong, we need to change. All right, look at the next one. 1 Timothy 5:23. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Getting through. 1 Timothy 5:23. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who was a faithful young minister. See, he's helping Paul. He's being a faithful person. He is preaching the word of God. Verse 23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. This is in the Bible. And this can, you know, people will be like, what's going on here? Well, when you, all the other stuff we're seeing that's in the Bible, it doesn't have to be so confusing. Verse 23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmity. Timothy is having stomach problems. Is there any other way to read that? Your frequent stomach, somehow, Timothy is having stomach problems. And Paul didn't tell him, just believe God and that's it. I'm sure Paul has talked to him about believing God, but he is saying, use a little wine for your stomach's sake. In other words, this will help you. This was where Timothy, evidently, that was where he was at. This would help him. And what's the difference between wine? Now, he's not saying, go get drunk. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, use a little wine, and this is going to help you. We know wine is alcohol and, you know, antiseptic and all that stuff. Who knows? But Paul is saying, use a little wine. Well, just kind of like, use some salt to heal the water. Use some flour. Here, put some figs on it. Hey, Timothy, Paul, the apostle, the one that wrote most of these letters. Why didn't he just say, because people be sassy about it. Well, if you believe in faith, why didn't Paul do it? Because evidently that's where Timothy was at, and that's what God was leading him to do. Doesn't mean that he did that for the rest of his life, and it doesn't do away with all the verses that talk about healing. Because God is the source of healing, and the point is for your body to be well. If that helped Timothy, mission accomplished. Well, it wasn't this way, and I just don't believe it. It's in the Bible. See, if we bump up against that, we've got to understand the Bible's right. And so maybe we need to, it'll help us to be solid. Because if something could help him, it's like, well, no, I can't say that. No, especially not wine. I'm not going to say that even though it could help him. Well, we don't know. He just told him that to do that. But the point is, he said it. We've got to be led in everything that we put in our body, what we do, how we behave. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 real quick. Oh, thank you, Lord. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've got, it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in your spirit's in your body, and it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be led on what we put. You know, we talk about these different things, medicines, different things that it said, the different elements. We could talk about or mention food, you know, exercise, what you eat. Your body is different than my body. And it's like you could be having an issue in an area. Hey, why don't you eat a little less of this or add this to your diet? And it could just be like this. Add some flour, add some salt, use a little of this. And God could give you a word. You're thinking, why is this happening? And God shows you, just add a little bit of this to your diet. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm going to believe God, that God's supernatural. I shouldn't have to. You're different than I am. And if God tells you, hey, just tweak this a little bit, and it works and your body is working right, he could help you that way. We've got to be led. You don't go by somebody else's diet. That could have been, I'm not saying you can't learn from it, I can't, but that could have been exactly, especially if they're a Christian, could have been exactly what helped them. But you don't take somebody else's thing that's like, well, this has helped them, so look at them, look at their physique, I'm just going to do it. Is God leading you to do that? We've got to go to him. God, is that what you want me to do? Yeah, but look at him. That's good for them. Is that how he's leading me? Is that how he's leading you? See, now it gets to where we go to God. See, God will lead all his children. Go to him and know, I can hear from God. See, it's sometimes easier to be like, well, I'm just going to do what you did. I want to take this. I'll just take your whole plan and do it with my life. Then I don't have to. See, that's trusting in man. But if we'll go and say, God, show me. And he might say, yeah. You know, out of those six steps they said, or 6 points in their diet, two of those will help you. The other two, lay off. But on this other person, you know how they said it? What are you looking for as you're reading, as you're looking, as somebody's saying? You're looking for a leading, a quickening on the inside that God's saying, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, use some salt. Yeah, yeah, just put the figs on there. That'll work. And God can get you. What's the point? He wants you to be well. And so if we go back to that, Lord, you're the healer. I'm not going to look at any person to get me. I'm looking to you. Show me what to do. Now, whatever the way. See, there's no condemnation. Like, well, you did this and I'm well. Oh, you're healed. That's the point. Well, I just don't. But we got to put that aside and go, God, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. All our ways acknowledge him. And he's going to direct us. He's going to direct us what? Into healing. Into wellness. Now, I want to give you 5 reasons, and this is we're winding up here. 5 reasons, you guys. We'll finish this up, and we're going a little bit long here, but I don't want to leave these things off. 5 reasons why Christians, Christians that Bible believing faith, like you, me, like believing that God is the healer, believing in faith, believing that God wants us to be well. Why? 5 reasons why Christians who believe in healing and faith don't go to the doctor, don't take medicines, don't have surgery, okay? Number 1 reason is fear. Fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear has nothing to do with faith. People don't go to the doctor, don't take medicines, don't have surgery because they're afraid. I'm saying there's 5 reasons. Sometimes this is one of the reasons, okay? This isn't the only reason. Obviously, we're listing 5 of them. But sometimes it's fear. They'll say it's faith. They say, I'm not going because I just believe God. But they're actually afraid. They're afraid of having the procedure. They're afraid of something happening. And the thing here is that's pretending. We have to be honest. We've got to get honest with ourselves and say, where am I? If I'm afraid, then we need to admit it. You know why I'm not going? Don't say, well, it's faith. When it's not, if it's faith, you're going to have confidence. If we're not confident, we're afraid of going, we need to admit, you know why? Because I'm afraid. Okay, now we've located it. Now we can do something because the Word of God tells us what to do. We can look at the Word of God and get rid of the fear, face the fear with the Word of God, with the Word. Number two, money. So people don't go because of fear. Another reason people don't go is because they're afraid, or they're basically concerned with the doctor bills. They don't want to go because I don't know how I'm going to pay for that. So they put it off. And the thing with this is if it's fear, if it's just money, then there's going to be a nagging dread, a nagging fear. You need to do something. You need to do something. You need to do something. And there's not a peace. There's not a confidence. There's not a persuasion. There is, well, I'm not going and I'm believing God. But really, if we're honest, it's, I don't know how I pay for that. I can't afford that. But all the while, there's a dread. There's a gnawing dread, a gnawing fear. Number three, why people don't go, don't take medicine, don't have surgery, don't go to the doctor. Number three, a reason, is pride. Pride. And the pride is, I don't need to do things other people do. I really am faith. I am in faith. I'm beyond other people. And so I don't need to do it. But if it's pride, there's going to be that gnawing, nagging fear. You're just like, I don't need to go. But inside, you better do something. You bet, well, I don't, and well, I don't want to, if you're honest, I don't want other people to think that I'm just going to the doctor and I don't have faith. So I'm going to act like, no, I don't have to do it. I don't have to do what other people do. I'm beyond. I really believe. But inside, you better go. What are you going to do about that? There's not peace. There's not a confidence. But people are ignoring and pretending it's not there. We'll get to it. But there will be, if you're really there, it'll be a confidence. You'll be at peace. Okay? Number four is confusion. Confusion. People that this would apply to, they don't want to displease the Lord. They're sincere. They want to do the right thing. They don't want to displease the Lord. They're sincere, but they're confused about it, and they think that it would be displeasing to the Lord if they went and had a surgery or went to the doctor or did anything. So here's an example of this, just to bring this clear. The people say, well, I don't have surgery. I don't go to the doctor. I won't do that. I guess people used to call it means, you know, using means or using, we could say, you know, I don't want to use a surgery. I don't get that. God can just do it all supernaturally. Well, here's an example. Think about a splinter. How many of you have ever had a splinter in your finger or hand or anywhere? Rest of you never had a splinter? God bless you. I don't know how you made it. You must not been outside much. You know what I mean by a splinter? Little piece of wood or metal, that's horrible, you know, shaves off, and you know, you're grabbing some wood or stick or something metal, and it shaves off and gets into your finger, and now you got it embedded or in your hand. Okay, let me ask you a question. Did you do something about it? Did you go in and maybe with a needle and go get it? Tweezers? Alcohol? Did you just leave? You know what happens if you leave a splinter? You say, I'm not gonna do anything. Pretty soon it starts getting red. It can get infected. You just had a splinter. Now you may have a real bad situation, right? Well, let me ask you a question. What is tweezers, needle, alcohol? Aren't those instruments? Using needles and tweezers, you know, get in there. It doesn't feel good, right? Yeah, you're small and your mom or dad may be doing it. And they're digging in there, getting it. Isn't that a surgery? Isn't it a minor surgery? So you remove the splinter and you put antibiotics on it, Band-Aid. Isn't that a procedure? Didn't you just take instruments, clean the area, get in there, patch it up? Isn't that a procedure? Let me ask you a question. Why didn't you just believe that the splinter would dematerialize? Well, it got quiet. Why go in there? Why is that different? Why didn't you just believe, name of Jesus, that thing is gone? I'm not, because you're probably thinking it's a splinter. I'm going to get it out. It's not that big a deal. I'm getting it out. Otherwise, I could have an infection. You realize an infection could kill you. You leave an infection, now all of a sudden, because you didn't want to get the splinter out, you're going to die. I mean, worst case. Because I'm believing God, it's going to dematerialize. I'm not saying God could make that splinter disappear. 100%. Question is he leading you to do that? Because we know the word of God teaches us that we can speak to them out. We know that God's our healer. We know that Jesus went ahead around and healed people and laid hands on the sick. Why don't you just lay your hands on there saying the name of Jesus be healed? The answer should be because I didn't have that on my heart to do. Because I wasn't led to do it. If you're in the middle of nowhere again, you don't have anything, you can't get it out, you better seek God to believe something happened because you can't, you know, you don't have the fingernails, you can't do it. You're going to have to get something. You're going to have to believe God. God, help me because I don't have my tweezers. I don't have my needle. But if I did, I would just get rid of it. That's not different. That's the same thing as, well, we could do this procedure on you, sew you up, and that's it. Would you just, well, fine, that blindly, I'm going to do that. No, you're going to seek God and say, God, they said they could do this. No problem. You know there's always this fraction of stuff in any procedure that could go wrong, right? If you're looking at the statistics, there's always this, and then there's the people that die or that gotten something. But generally, it doesn't. You don't say, well, I just can't do that because this, we go to God and say, Lord, they say they can do this. It's not a big deal. They do it all the time. And this is really the result. Now, Lord, I don't want to displease you. I want to do what you want me to do. How should I take care of this? And where's your confidence? If you have confidence, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, where is your confidence? If you're believing God and he tells you and you're like, no, I can go in there. I believe we can do that. You know what you do? All right, that's where my leading is. Whatever the procedures, whatever the thing is, I believe I'm supposed to go in there. I believe that's your leading. You say, well, that's just not the perfect. What is God leading me to do? And where am I if I'm confident? I know we're wrapping up here. Just bear with me so we can finish this up. If you're confident that way, now what do you do? All right, Lord, I believe this is what you lead me to do. Lord, however God leads you to pray. But one thing, like I've done this, you're going in. All right, Lord God, you may get somebody to agree with you. Like if I'm doing something, I'm getting Shelly to agree with me. Okay, this is what I got in my heart. This is where I have confidence. This is what I can believe God for. I can believe that I'm going to go get that done and there's going to be no side effects. They're going to do the best work they've ever done or some of the best work they've ever done. It's going to go smoothly, textbook, everything perfect. And then when we get done, it's going to heal up supernaturally fast and everything's going to be good. And you're looking, can I believe that? Yeah, I can get in faith. I can be confident. 100%. That's what's going to happen. That's the way the Lord's leading us. Will you agree with me? Now you go into the procedure, not going, I don't know if I should do it. If you're there, you need to back up and say, should I be doing it? Because some people are afraid of doing the surgery, but they're afraid of not doing the surgery, and they're just afraid, and they're living in torment and condemnation and fear and feeling like they're displeasing God and they can't do it. They can't move. But if they go in there afraid of dying or something bad and they're looking at the statistics like that's going to be you and they just are being tormented. And that doesn't have to be that way because God's a good God and he loves us and he's the healer and he can show you, son, daughter, do this and it'll be just fine. Now you put your faith toward that and you say, all right, this is what's going to happen. And you speak that and you say, thank God that's what's going to happen. You go in, fear leaves. There's confidence. You're going, you're not putting yourself in that doctor's hands blindly. You're saying, I'm looking, you are doing this work, but I have one that's taking care of me. And he is going to make sure your hands do what they need to do. And he's going to make sure everything, every staff member, every Yeah, they're not going to give me the wrong medicine. They're not going to put the wrong thing in my body. Everything is going to go smoothly. Lord, you give them wisdom and direction and guidance. And if they don't know something, you reveal it to them. You help to, you think through their minds. You work through their body because you're the healer. I'm trusting you. Well, now you're in faith. You are using your faith. You are in confidence. You're completely confident. And number five, then, the fifth reason why you wouldn't go to the doctor is that you know you don't need to, because you are confident. It's not fear. It's not pride. You know you don't need it. You're confident. You're at peace. You're strong. You're like, nope, I don't need to go. There's no nagging fear. There's nothing. You're like, nope, it'll be fine. I'm at peace. God is my healer, and he is leading me to just praise him, and that's fine. Or he's leading me. I spoke to it. I prayed for it, and it's going. And that is where I really am. My confidence. I'm strong. If somebody were to ask you, well, let's get down really. Where are you? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't have to go. Are you sure? Are you sure? Nah, you're just doing that because somebody, no, I believe God. And that's what you dig down. That's the confidence. That's the persuasion. That's the foundation. They're there. You are me. We're there. And in that case, what are you doing? You're following God and you're in faith and you will have exactly what God is leading you because you really don't need it. The point is you be led. There is no pat answer because everybody is at different places. Everybody's heart is at different places. Everybody's faith is at different places. Some people have heard certain things. Some people haven't. And in one time, God may just lead you. You'll just praise me and it's fine. Another time, nope, just get that checked out. They can do this. It'll be no problem. You're done. Another time, he may lead you just to see what the options are. But there's no set answer because everybody's different. And if we try to say, well, I got to do it because so-and-so, or there's just this blanket answer, we're going to miss it. We're supposed to trust him and go to him and trust him with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. But God is not against doctors. He's not against medicine. He's not. Death and disease are the enemy. And we should fight them with every tool, every weapon that's at our disposal. Everything. That's the enemy. So whatever it takes, whatever God leads us to do, we fight on every area. But we don't do just something because somebody told us, or because a bunch of people are doing it, or because they're all saying this is what you would do if you really had faith, or they say they believe God. You go to God for the answer. You wait on him. You get your leading from him. You don't yield to pressure, but you have a confidence. Once you get that confidence, once you get that leading, when you know where you're supposed to go, now you believe God, you act in faith, and you go forward, and God will, if it's him leading you, and you have peace, and you have confidence, he's the healer, you'll come out fine, and then you'll give him all the glory. God, you showed me. God, you helped me. Thank you.